Good morning. Welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here with you. You've already been given that information, but I know you probably have this information already, but let me give it to you just in case. When you come into Lupton, we're on the east side of the street. That way, no matter which way you come in from the north or south, you find us. Right in the middle of our parking lot across the street is a big white sign that says Bible Baptist Church. Can't miss it. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, and 6 o'clock for the evening service. Midweek is on Thursday night. It's at 7 o'clock. During that service, we have a youth time for the ages 5 to 12. Teen time, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You're welcome to come and be with us. We may not be the church you're looking for, but then again, we might be. You won't know unless you give us a try, all right? Maybe you're moving into the area. I know some of our area is growing quite a bit. Houses are being built, apartments being built. Because people come in an area, they need a place to live. So that's happening. The Bible Baptist Hour, Pastor Heaton. Our message, second part, understanding holiness. And holiness is not sinlessness. And I say that every week because I want you to understand. Some people think, well, you can't be holy because you sin. You are a sinner saved by grace, my friend. As one preacher said one time, he says, when I pray, I sin. So you can't... You can't not sin. I know some people think you're sinless. I know some people think you can get a second anointing and you won't sin anymore, but that's not in the Bible anywhere. So we're trying to help you out with this subject of holiness, and if we've raised a question or you heard something that you wanted to know more about, again, at the end of our program, our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and we do look forward to hearing from you. Now, when we first started in the ministry here, I think it was 1978, I think, somewhere along there, we used to get letters more frequently than we do, but people don't write much anymore. It's a text message or email, something like that. And that's okay. It's fine. But there's something that seems a bit impersonal with that, isn't there? You say, well... It takes a lot of time to sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper and write. Yes, it does. I agree. I don't really enjoy it, but I do it. I write letters to people all the time because why? Well, and I'm not against a typewritten letter. When typewriters were a big thing, people did a typewriter. That's okay. I'm not against that. I'm just saying is that we try to be as personal as we possibly can, although that just doesn't always happen, does it? Well, anyways, all that being said and done, we have the Camilleri family today, and I don't know for sure where they're from. They used to be in New York, I believe it was, but I don't know if they're still there or not. And they sing this song, Take Time to Be Holy. And boy, don't we need to do that. We seem to always be busied about other things. So listen to the song. When it's over, we'll be into the second part of the message, Understanding Holiness.
Like him thou shalt be. You know what we think? Now listen to me. We think that anything comes out of our mouth is all right. I mean, after all, you know, we're saved, we're going to heaven, no matter what we say. You know, we're just, oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, now you're religious. Because you think you can sin and confess it and it's all right. You just, you know, it don't have to be on Friday when you show up or on Saturday. It can just be Monday, Tuesday.
Amen.
Yeah, see? See? We don't take our salvation serious in that you're saved and on your way to heaven, and while you're going here, you're supposed to be leaving behind an example of who God is. It's called godliness. And you can't do that if God is holy and you're living unholy. You can't do that. You say, well, nobody's perfect. Oh, there you go again. When he told you to be perfect because I'm perfect, here you go. See, you just what you better get both feet out of your mouth and keep them on the ground and just listen. Because invariably, you go saying nobody can do that. You're going to put your foot in your mouth somewhere along the line. And this book is loaded, I promise you. I mean, this is a double-barrel shotgun, both hammers cocked.
Yeah, right.
And God will pull both triggers at the same time. And you'll have a backside full of buckshot. Yeah. He says, woe is me, for I'm undone because of a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, I'm standing before a congregation of just unclean lips this morning. And you're looking at unclean lips up here in the pulpit. In a time we need to come to the point where we realize that we aren't really what we think we are sometimes, and we're really not as good as we think we are, and as clean as we think we are, and as sanctified as we think we are, and as holy as we think we are. We're just unclean. And you know you wouldn't recognize that unless, like Isaiah, you had some vision, and there you found yourself standing in the court, and the king's on the throne. And you're hearing them saying, holy, holy, holy. And you'd say, woe is me. I'm undone. And yet every time you open that holy book, down at the prison Saturday, Friday, and a fellow come walking through, and I really don't see much what's out, but he had this book in his hand that said on it, Holy Koran. No, I'm sorry. Wrong title on that book. There's only one holy book in this world. Right there it is. Only one. The rest of them are books. But this is the only holy one. You say, why? It's the only one God wrote. And if God wrote it, that makes it holy. Anything outside that's not holy. You can put that title on it, but it's not holy. That's blasphemy to call something holy. That's like saying, holy cow. Wait a minute, there are no holy cows except in India. There are no holy cows. There is a holy ghost. There is a holy God. There is a holy book. There is a holy Savior. You understand that? You know, I think one of the programs that I used to really, I mean, I still despise it, and that's Batman. Because he's a little buddy one. Holy crayfish! Holy rope! Holy whatever! He was always throwing holy on it. Just to me like it was smashing God in the face, or smashing him in the face. A.W. Tozer, 44 years ago now, 44 years ago, A.W. Tozer said this, until we have seen ourselves as God sees us, we are likely to be much disturbed over our condition around us all along, as they do not get far out of hand to threaten our comfort of life. In other words, until we see God sees us, we look at the conditions around us and realize until they make us uncomfortable. So your problem is you're not uncomfortable what's around you. You're just comfortable with it. I mean, it doesn't bother you the way the world acts and what they do. It should.
Right.
It should bother you.
Amen.
David said he wept over it. It should bother you. But he said this. He said, we have learned to live with unholiness and have come to look upon it as the natural and expected thing. 44 years ago, he said that, back in 1961, I think it was. And today we're living from that point now, and I think we're worse than that. We expect unholiness to be the natural part of life, and we say something like this when somebody says, well, that's not the way a Christian is. Like, hey, nobody's perfect, are you? And that's our answer. You've heard it. Maybe you've given it. That's our answer. Nobody's perfect. Oh, yes, they are. God's perfect. And that perfect God said for you to live a holy life, and if you want to make a liar out of him, help yourself, but I'm not going to sit in that part of the congregation. That's what holiness is. Amen. So this isn't easy. I didn't expect it to be easy. Now, wow, I've got 15 minutes. You laugh about Brother Tom. All right. Exodus 20. I'm not like being in Toledo. See, I have to preach long this morning because Tom's not used to getting out to about 1. His preacher goes to about 1. But I'm a more dignified and sanctified pastor. All right, Exodus 20. I told you, I really don't know how to do this, okay? So I'm doing the best I can with it. That's the best I'm doing. Now look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. But that's not the end of the verse. We quote that verse and don't get it at all. Remember the Sabbath day to do what with it? Keep it holy. Let me say, first of all, that there's a day that's holy. Now, I know I'm not under the law. I know we don't keep the Sabbath. I know that. But did you read the next verse? You believe that one, don't you? Help me out here. Don't you believe that one? Then how come you take the other one? You believe there are 6 days God gave you to do whatever it is you got to do. But we don't do the Sabbath. Well, I know you don't practice. I know you're not a Jew. I look out here. I can see the noses. There's no... Well, it might be a couple of you. All right. All right. I'll look in the offering plate. Oh, yeah, you're Jews. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I know you're not supposed to keep a Sabbath day. You're a Gentile. I understand that. And the Sabbath day is only kept in the land. But that's not the point. The point is, what was that day supposed to be kept like? Holy. It wasn't a day. Well, that's the day we go to church. And then after church, you know, we can just kind of mow the lawn or whatever we want to do.
That's right, brother.
Great. No, wait a minute. That's not. What is it that you take the 6 he gave you and then take whatever the other one you want? Because you think coming to church makes you holy? You think coming to church is a holy act? Not if you come to church for the point of just coming here.
Right.
Holiness has to have the presence of God in it. And if you don't come here with wanting to worship God and bringing God with you in that sense, then there ain't no holiness to it. You just showed up just to show up. As Harold says, they show up to, you know, show off the H-A-T. Amen. Now, I'm trying to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. Holiness is something to do with God. Now, when I was raised up as a boy, we didn't do anything on Sunday. I'm not kidding you. We shouldn't do anything on Sunday. We come home from church. We change our clothes. We could play in the house. We could move around the house. We could go outside. But we didn't go outside and cut the grass. We didn't go outside and take a hammer and hammer nails and do all kinds. No, my dad said, nope, this is a rest day. You just give this day to God. You say, well, I think that's legalism. I know you do, because you don't want any holiness in your life. You just, that's what you blame it on, legalism. You're the legalist, not me. I'm saying if you really love God, then you're going to do everything in your life to be holy. Because you're not doing it for the church, you're not doing it for the preacher. Don't be holy for me. You'll be the most unholy thing that's ever come out of hell. You'll be holy because of God. Holiness has nothing to do with the Baptists. It has nothing to do with the Methodists. It has nothing to do with the Nazarenes. It has nothing to do with the Holy Church of the Fire. It has everything to do with God. And he said, you remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because that was his day. And he said, you keep my day holy. It was a holy day. But let me show you something about that. Turn over to Romans 15 a minute. Romans 15. Now, I'm not doing a very good job, and I think God will help you understand it. But Romans 15, look at verse 5. Oh, boy, I'm having a bad day with text here. Is it 14? No, that's not what I want. Okay, here's the one I want. I don't find it. If you find it, let me know. He that regardeth the day of the Lord, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth it not unto the Lord. 14:6? Okay, you're saying 14. Is that what you're saying, chapter 14? Oh, I thought you were saying verse 14. Would you be more clear, son, when you talk to me? Okay. 14, 5, and 6. Hey, I don't mind admitting I make a mistake. That makes I'm human, okay? Some of you won't admit that. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth another day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth it unto who? To who? Not for himself. For who? Would that make it holy? Do you get my point? You say, well, I'm not doing this. Okay, do you take one day out for worship? So you regard that day, right? I'm just looking around here this morning. I'm going to say that most of you regard Sunday as that day. Well, then you regard it to the Lord, not to the preacher. Don't come here because you don't want me to send you a card saying, where were you Sunday? Amen? You don't come here because you want to show up to say that you showed up, or that you showed up and nobody else showed up. You notice I came, but nobody else did. I'm here every Sunday, and sometimes you're not. So does that make me more spiritual than you? Not on your life. You don't come here for the purpose of seeing who's here. You come here for the purpose of God. If you regard this day to Him, then it's for Him. You're not regarding this for anybody else. Regarding it for Him. That's where our holiness has gone to. Our holiness has gone to. We have sucked it all up into ourselves. And we think that whatever I do, God must be happy about it. Maybe there's times I've showed up to church, and I'm sure there has been. God said, you've just been better off to stay home. Amen? Aren't you sure there are days when you showed up that you just might as well stayed home? Why? You didn't get nothing out of what was going on here. You know, I don't know, when the water line busted, or the car was broke, or the dog bit your neighbor, or you're mad at your wife, or you're mad at your kids, or you're mad at something, and you just come here and sit down, and the preacher comes and says, now I'm going to preach on how to have a good marriage. And you go, oh, great, we just had a fight, and he's going to talk about a good marriage. Amen. Let me ask you a question. You're going to go home today, and I don't know what you're going to do, and I'm not telling you what to do, and I'm not interested in what you're going to do. But would you do what you're going to do today if Jesus was sitting in your living room? But He is. You say, that's the thing about them Baptists, always telling you how to live. No, that's this book. I didn't, the Baptists had nothing to do with this. Amen. There's a bunch of Jews that wrote this book. Well, no Baptist. Psalm 79. I don't think I'm going to make it. Y'all notice that when I get finished this morning, if you kind of see the Dombrowski just kind of wandering around outside the church, don't know what to do, it's because they can't leave the church till 1. It's a rule down there in Toledo. Okay. So, you know, give them a sucker if you got a piece of dried bread or something when you want to do it. All right. Psalm 79, verse 1. I'm just picking on your preacher, you know. It's the truth, though. Oh God, the heathen are come into thy inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. You say, what's that have to do with anything? Turn to Psalm 138. You know me. I can teach baptism from that verse. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Now, just stop right there. I know what the rest of that verse says about magnifying the word. I'm not. That's the part. I want you to see something here. There's a temple that's holy. You know, back in the Old Testament, again, I just, this is this example, back in the Old Testament, a fellow could come into the courtyard, and if he said, you know, I think I'm going to go in there and just see how that cherubim's doing around that mercy seat. They'd have been looking at Crispy Critter. Why? That was a holy place. And the only person that went in there once a year, and that was the high priest. And he went in there after he had made an atonement for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. And he went in there to get something from God. You didn't go in there, otherwise they'd drag you out with a rope. You say, well, I'm sure glad it isn't that way today. Well, over there in Acts chapter 5, there's a story about two church members, and you know they were Baptists because they lied. And they lied about what they were supposed to give to God because they had already made this commitment. That's what they were going to do. And then they backed out on it. It was kind of like this. Do we give on our... or...
There you go.
Nah, keep the extra 25 cents. God doesn't care. But they went in there and lied, and Peter said, well, folks, you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. You lied to the Holy Ghost. And bam, I mean, two dead church members faster than you can think. Now, this building is not holy. Whole, Senate maybe, but it's not holy. But you're here this morning. So therefore, if you're here this morning and God's in you, that constitutes, the God's here, that constitutes a different thing. It's not a gymnasium. It's not a gymnasium. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I was a child, I'll tell you what we learned. We learned what the church building was for. I probably told you a story, but for those of you who haven't heard it, for those of you who have heard it, you say, oh my. My brother and I were playing one time, and we were using the church. And the old church had those doors that swing both ways, you know, kind of like the saloon. It wasn't a saloon, but it was the doors that swing both ways. They were the big doors. And it was neat to go through them things both hands like this. You raise that? Boom! And them doors ping, open, and you'd go down. So there was Nile this side, Nile this side. So we went in the front door. We both parted ways. We both hit them big doors down through the aisles. And I had the side that was closest to the exit, which would exit into a room and out the back door. My brother had to come around the front, so he was behind me. Man, we busted down through there. We was running from the Indians or the Germans or somebody. I don't remember who was running from. And we hit that back door and opened it, and there was a giant standing on the other side of that door. And his name was Dad. This wasn't even on Sunday. I mean, I can understand on Sunday why you say, you know, children behave, but this was during the week. God wasn't there. We checked before we went through the doors. God wasn't there. We hit that back door and opened it, and I don't know how he knew what we were doing. I don't know if he was standing over at the parsonage and saw us hit that, walked out the back door, because he could get out the back door before we get to the building and was standing, but he was standing there. And when I opened that door, I went... And all he did was this, Brother Gordy. He just turned to the side because immediately 20 feet away from that back door was the bus garage door. And he just went. We were walking now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.